I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Do you ever struggle to put your thoughts into prayers? That's really common. It's normal. But it's a problem. It's a problem that needs to be solved by each one of us with our Father's help. And that's where Jesus comes in with the Lord's Prayer, which, contrary to popular belief and longstanding tradition, is not a prayer. I've been making this contention for a long time. It's a prayer guide, a prayer pattern, a prayer generator, a prayer memory aid. The disciples didn't say, "Teach us a prayer." They said, "Teach us to pray." And Jesus didn't pray it. He taught it, not as a prayer to recite, but as a way to pray to avoid religious repetition. Because that's what his boys were struggling with and babbling their way through. Three times a day, under their prayer blanket, their tallit, reciting the 10-minute, 18-segment, thrice-daily Amidah, the beautiful, scriptural, spiritual, yet very mechanical prayer. So, last couple weeks, we've been scrutinizing the instructions and warnings that Jesus gives with his template for talking to God. The Lord's Prayer Guide, it comes with warnings. And it is a template. And templates like this were actually fairly common in Jesus' day, and they were known in Jesus' day as index prayers. It was a practical way to convert scattered thoughts into thoughtful words. The irony is that many today pray the Lord's antidote mechanically. Now, the LPG, the Lord's Prayer Guide, it should be prayed as is, especially publicly in church settings, because it must be memorized. Got to get it in our heads. But then, you know, when we go home, when we're on our own, its intended purpose and function is to be prayed and paused and personalized. Each concise, easily memorized segment, let's face it, a lot of us already have it memorized, but every little segment sparks and inspires thoughts and desires that we might otherwise easily overlook and forget to say, and then fail to discuss with our dad. The simplicity of the LPG is deceptive. But if we follow it as Jesus taught it, we'll never pray the same again. It's kind of a, got two meanings there. We'll never pray the same prayer twice, and we'll never pray the same way again. Because the LPG is a spiritual thought organizer. So it changes daily, like daily bread. It's an index on which to hang our deepest needs and our darkest secrets, along with all our tears and fears and hopes and praise. And so, without any further ado, in this manner, therefore pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." What are you doing? We just blew through three segments. We got to backtrack. Jesus opens our Father by emphasizing the closeness that God himself desires with us. He wants to be approached first and foremost on an intimate basis. Specifically, the way a small child whose father just happened to be a king, say, would jump onto his lap to say, "I love you, Daddy." I don't know about you. I think it's nice to know that prayer isn't just for us. It's also for dad. Know why? It says Malachi, he seeks godly offspring. He wants kids. That's what it's all about down here. And he wants to be greeted daily with childlike affection. That's incredible. It's like he wants a verbal hug. In fact, we're encouraged to call him Abba. A lot of us don't. We don't translate it into our own language either. But we're encouraged in Scripture to call him Abba, like Jesus did, which is the equivalent of daddy or papa. And so, you pray, "Our Father," and then you pause to ask yourself how you can best express, not childish, but childlike affection to our devoted dad. And then you personalize it. I don't know how you would, because as you, I love you, Dad, Daddy, Papa, Morning, Abba, Pa, Pops. I'd probably say Big Pops, etc. Though I don't recommend etc. That's, you don't like that one. But what feels most natural to you? Nothing, nothing. It all sounds weird to call him Daddy and Dad. I know that's what a lot of you are thinking. So true, so true. Even more so for Jesus' young disciples. The disciples didn't think of our Father on such intimate terms, and it hindered their prayers and their relationship. So, can you relate to him on such intimate terms? Do you? Are you on such intimate terms with Dad? Well, thanks or no thanks to old Jimmy King. I guess you call him King James. Many believers grow up thinking Dad prefers some formality. I don't see it. I sure wouldn't have wanted my kids, they're growing up, to say, "Oh, Father, we beseech thee to bestow thy allowance upon us." That's weird. And you notice how Jesus places the personal ownership in there? This here, take a look, this. This, our Father, this is the sweet hour of prayer. He's ours. He's ours. He belongs to us just as we belong to him, in the way that a child possesses the heart of a loving parent and vice versa. We own his heart if we've given him ours. Now everyone in the world is his child by creation. But as you know, it's a lot more to being a dad than creating a kid. So after we're created, we must be connected. And there's just the one connection. It's in John. To all who received Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born again of God. Let's hit the second segment here. Why do you suppose Jesus includes Dad's address in his template? You know, "Our Father in heaven, 777 Pearly Gates." Why is Dad's address in there? Well, here's the thing. In heaven, literally a reminder of our Papa's place and ours. He's in heaven, we're on earth. But in heaven may not mean what you think. In heaven isn't about location. In heaven is about authority. Thus says the Lord, Yahweh, heaven is my throne. See, it's not about location, it's about authority. Because he lives in here. First and foremost is relationship, our Father. But a close second is reverence. And so before we enter any further into our prayers, we must strike a balance between intimacy and authority. You often hear that Jesus remade God's image. New Testament, so different than the old. He remade God's image as an affectionate father. Not true. Jesus came to reveal, not to remodel. In fact, 750 years earlier, the prophet Isaiah was striking the same balance. He declares to God for all to hear, "Look down from heaven and see from your lofty throne, holy and glorious. You are our Father." Yeah, he's on a holy and glorious heavenly throne as the almighty, all-knowing authority whose fiercest foes only exist by his will within his perfect plan for his children's eternal best. Oh, our Papa God is fearsome, awesome, and then some. And so you pray, "Our Father in heaven," and then pause to ask yourself how you can best express your understanding that he's above all and in full control. How you can best express your respect for his absolute authority. Then you personalize it. Almighty, all-knowing, King of kings, Lord of lords, I submit, I surrender, I bow, and I worship you above all other powers and authorities. I love C.S. Lewis, and I love C.S. Lewis's balancing act in a line relating to Aslan the lion represents the Lord. It's from The Magician's Nephew, but I love this line. He says, "They were terribly afraid it would turn and look at them. Yet in some strange way, they wished it would." Well, God may be fierce, but he's not a force. He's not a distant, detached, impersonal power. He's our Father. He's our Dad. In heaven. It's part of the job. Fatherly and fierce relationship and reverence. So Jesus reminds us, for a right relationship, to fear the Father we love. Because Dad is all personal and all powerful and a no-nonsense. For instance, John, one of the 12, John and Jesus were best friends, great friends. But John got a glimpse of the Lord's heavenly glory, and he says, "His eyes were like blazing fire. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead." How do you think you'll react? Probably the same way, right? You know, it used to be a compliment to be called God-fearing. Now, not so much. You don't hear that, right? Now we tend to over-focus on our Father's softer side. And when we do too much, over-focus, we begin to see him as a harmless old softy on sin. And our relationship and prayer life suffers. So don't confuse Father God with Uncle God. And this goes both ways as far as the over-focusing. If we don't balance his intimacy and authority, we'll see him as either an indulgent dad or a harsh, judgmental sir. Do you tend to stress one aspect of his nature over the other? Because I think we all do. We just need to examine ourselves. try to get that balance. All softness produces liberalistic self-condoning. And we fail to our own detriment to notice how alarmingly and powerfully he opposes our sin. But on the flip side, all fierceness produces legalistic self-condemning. And we fail to find the joy of our salvation or even to feel forgiveness that our Father so freely offers. God is love. And love is something more fierce than kindness. You know, just softness, kindness wants to numb pain and alleviate suffering. That's why a kind vet will shoot a horse. It's the kind thing to do. But love is deeper, more complicated. Love longs to help face the pain and walk through it. Kindness cares only that pain is removed, not that healing is attained or righteousness achieved. Kindness is what you show the neighbor's kid while you put up with them. Love is what you show your own. And then they get mad at you, right? Your kids, they cause them to get upset. Like, how come you don't treat me like you do the neighbor kid? Because you're mine. People mostly want a soft lion, a doofy lion. That's what people want, a kindly Santa God who grants forgiveness and dispenses mercy without demanding growth or change. No transformation needed. But that's a desire for less love, less power, not more. So, ask again, which tendency do you tend to lean toward? Dad don't want us terrified, just awestruck, confident, but not complacent. We were made to be a safely afraid of Dad. Now, I've never had trouble fearing a loving father. Haven't. Not because of a prayer blanket, but a monster blanket. A magic flying monster blanket. This baby, my grandma made this. This thing's about 60 years old. And about 55 years ago, Pops would cover himself in this very blanket right here. Such memories of this. And then he'd crawl on the floor and growl and try to catch me as I jump from couch to chair. Oh my goodness, you can imagine, you know Pops. I was simultaneously terrified. I can still remember just that hand coming up, just terrified of Pop's power, while absolutely secure in his loving protection. I didn't fear harm. I was just joyfully overwhelmed by power. So thanks in part to this blanket right here, I happen to have it pretty easy when it comes to enjoying and fearing our fierce and loving Father. It's monster love. Fearsome, awesome, and then some. But I know, sadly, that a whole lot of believers have a huge barrier when it comes to connecting with our Heavenly Father. You know why? Earthly fathers were the worst. For many, father is synonymous with hostility, rejection, and abuse. And so we can't help but feel repulsion and rage and scorn. Bad dads distort our perception of God because, come on, we all tend to project the weaknesses of our earthly dads onto our heavenly dad. How How was your dad? Was your earthly father unreasonable or unpleasable, unreliable, unconcerned, unpredictable, or unjust? Well, we need to undo what they've done by realizing and verbalizing that God, our God, isn't like a father. He is the Father. Listen close. He's not even a reflection of all that is good and great about fathers. Just the opposite. All that's good about fatherhood is still a dim reflection of dad. But in fatherhoods, earthly fatherhoods, most inspiring and gracious moments, it captures the essence of our dad, fundamental to his nature, unique to his relationship with creation. Our God is the gold standard of good dads. He's the one and only genuine definition of father. But what's the one and only genuine definition of him? Our Father. Or should I say, who is the only definition? Because Jesus said, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. Hey, from now on, you do know him and have seen him. And of course, he's speaking to his disciples. And so to us, that means to the degree that you know Jesus, you know the Father. Do you think maybe you ever unconsciously project any of your earthly father's traits onto your heavenly Father? Well, this then is how you should pray. Our Father, the Father of all in heaven. You know, whatever kind of defective dad you had down here didn't do so good. So hallowed, holy, set apart, differentiated be your name. You know who the Jews of Jesus' day hallowed as their father? Abraham is our father, they answered. God the Father was referred to as the God of Abraham, the God of Father Abraham. And even though Abraham, dead for 2,000 years, clear back then, most Jews saw their salvation as an entitlement based on their father Abraham's faith. And this really perturbed John the Baptist. He says, do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. You know who else it perturbed? Jesus. He said, if you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do the things Abraham did. For instance, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Okay, I got to confess, I did not read you everything Isaiah wrote about our Father in heaven. He said, look down from heaven and see from your lofty throne, holy and glorious, you are our Father. Though Abraham don't know us, you, O Lord, Yahweh, are our Father. And the Amidah, thrice daily, begins, the whole thing starts by calling out to the God of Abraham, which Jesus replaces with, our Father in heaven. Not remaking, reminding, revealing. and basically saying to stop praying to someone else's God. You know, everyone was under their shawl riding Father Abraham's coattails to God's throne. The relationship must be between you and our Father, not you and Abraham or anyone else and our Father. Remember Jesus' warning just before the LPG, pray to your Father, then your Father will reward you. After all, before Abraham was, he am. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And everybody said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.